Welcome to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Christine DiMattei, filling in for Tom Hudson, who returns next week. Well, with less than 3 weeks left to go in Florida's 2017 legislative session, the state Senate has found themselves suddenly confronted with arguably the most uncomfortable situation that they've had to deal with for quite some time. We had some breaking news this morning. Republican State Senator Frank Artiles of Miami-Dade has resigned from the Florida legislature today after a scandal erupted over racist and sexist insults that he flung at two African-American lawmakers at a Tallahassee bar on Monday. Now, Artiles stood on the chamber floor on Wednesday morning and publicly apologized to his colleagues.
There is no excuse, nor will I offer one. My comments to you were the most regretful of all because they injured you personally. No one deserves to be spoken that way, much less a person of your stature, dignity, and integrity. I humbly ask to accept my heartfelt apology.
Well, many of his colleagues in the Florida legislature, plus civil rights and women's groups, said that apology was just not good enough. And there were full-throated cries coming from all quarters for Artiles' resignation or expulsion from the Senate. Okay, in case you're not catching that, that is chanting, hate speech is not okay, Artiles must go away. That was a protest outside of Artiles' Miami-Dade office just yesterday. Now, at this point, we need to say that we did reach out to State Senator Artiles. He declined to appear on our program today. Joining us by phone is reporter Patricia Mazzei. She broke the story for the Miami Herald. Patty, good to have you on again.
Hey, Chris.
And in the Herald newsroom is El Nuevo reporter Brenda Medina. She recently wrote a piece about race relations within the Latino community. Hi, Brenda.
Hello.
In the studio with us is Hialeah Councilman Paul Hernandez. We are so glad to have you here.
Pleased to be here.
And Councilman, in a few minutes, we're going to get into how Hialeah was inadvertently dragged into this whole thing. Before we start our conversation, we'd like to remind our listeners that you're part of this conversation, so please call us. The number to call is 800-743-9576. Easy way to remember is 1-800-743-WLRN. And also, the subject matter in this first segment involves the use of rough language, which we will not repeat. So we are asking, when we're asking our questions or making our comments on air, we'll most likely refer to certain words. We'll make reference to them. We're not going to say them flat out. We ask our call-in guests to please do the same. Patty Mazzei, what exactly happened on Monday night that sparked this controversy?
So it was sometime after 10:30 p.m. At the Governor's Club, which is a members-only bar in downtown Tallahassee, just steps from the Florida Capitol. Two legislators, Senator Perry Thurston of Fort Lauderdale and Senator Audrey Gibson of Jacksonville, who are both Democrats and African-American, were at a table with other folks at the club, and Senator Artiles approached them. He was upset that Senator Gibson had questions about one of his bills in a committee earlier in the day. And they were drinking, and he made remarks to the effect of, if you stop questioning my bills, I'll stop questioning yours. You know, like there was some sort of retaliation there. And of course, he used vulgarities to make his point. And he was asked to apologize by Senator Thurston, who was there. And Senator Artiles apologized, but then kept talking. He kept railing about Senate President Joe Negron, who is in Senator Artiles' party, right? They're both Republicans. He was saying the Republican leadership is weak. He called the Senate president
a bad word.
Another vulgarity, yes, and then referred to the Republicans who had elected President Negron to that position using the N-word, and so it was just kind of one thing after the other, and Senator Gibson's, you know, left. She just left the Governor's Club because she was so insulted. Senator Thurston tried to organize an apology in person at the Capitol the next morning. So this is Tuesday morning.
Okay, and that's my next question. This came to light so quickly. By Tuesday afternoon, Artiles was apologizing to Gibson, I believe, privately. By Wednesday morning, he was doing so publicly on the Senate floor. So how did this come to light, you know, the very next day?
Well, the Senator Thurston tried to get this apology to happen in the morning, and it didn't. Senator Artiles didn't show up. At that point, you know, Senator Thurston went to his own Democratic leadership in the Senate, to Oscar Brain and the senator from Miami Gardens, who is the Democratic leader, and said, you know, we have a problem. And so that prompted Senator Brainin to have to take this to the Republican leadership, to President Negron and his team. And so that's what precipitated the apology from Senator Artiles to Senator Gibson in person. Now, by that point, so many people knew about this that reporters found out as well, and then the story started coming out, and that just kind of turned into the snowball effect where then Negron required Artiles to apologize on the floor of the Senate. But the Legislative Black Caucus was so upset that by the next day they requested a formal expulsion of Senator Artiles, and that led to an investigation, which began yesterday. So this has really taken up most of the business of the Florida Senate this week. I mean, they canceled some meetings Thursday afternoon because they were just trying to grapple with this. So they couldn't meet with the House over gambling policy, for example, which is one of the big issues pending this session, because they were just overtaken by this.
Yeah, and Patty, in a couple of minutes, we're going to get to what immediate ramifications this is going to have for the rest of session. But you just spoke about Artiles' apology, the public apology, and something crept into that apology that sparked a second controversy.
I grew up in a diverse community. We share each other's customs, cultures, and vernacular. I realize that my position does not allow me for the looseness of words or slang, regardless of how benign my intentions were.
How benign his intentions were, I believe he meant to say. Now, if I'm getting the story correctly, right after the offensive comments, Artiles, by way of an explanation, said, quote, "I'm from Hialeah." Important to note that he represents Kendall and surrounding areas, but he was raised in Hialeah. Now, in the studio, we have Hialeah Councilman Paul Hernandez. Paul, when you heard that, "I'm from Hialeah," what went through your mind?
Well, you know, I was online at my house, and I logged into the Miami Herald, and I read, I think the original report didn't include that. It was just very brief, and it said, it just kind of commented on what he had said, but there was no mention of Hialeah in it. And I was shocked and awed, as everyone else was that read that. But about an hour and a half or so later, I went to read to see if there was a follow-up. And much to my surprise and my chagrin, I see that Hialeah is dragged into this. And I'm thinking to myself, how the heck did Hialeah get in this? Like, you know, and all of this is so foreign to me, because as a local elected official, we have government in the sunshine laws. We don't talk to each other. The legislator imposed that on us, but they don't have that. So they could talk freely amongst themselves and whatever they want, they're voting on. Okay. Another thing is, we don't have a 3 or 4 month session. Mm-hmm. We work year round. And what bothered me, aside from the crass statements and just how shocking they were, was the fact that we work year round, and we've been working very diligently to give Hialeah a positive name, because of comments like these offhanded comments that for so long have given our city a bad name. But people who live within the city know how beautiful it is, how nurturing the people there are, how goodwill they are.
Well, this is very common, and I have to tell you, full disclosure, I've been guilty of this myself. Mm-hmm. When I get outspoken, as my colleagues will tell you, I am one to do, okay? I say something like, "Hey, what do you want from me? I'm just a straight-talking Sicilian from Brooklyn, New York." You know, and what I mean to say is, in Brooklyn, New York, people are straight shooters. You know, when somebody, I grow up, it's a working-class place, largely, mm-hmm. where people speak their minds, and when if somebody offends you, if somebody interferes with you in some way, to put it bluntly, you put diplomacy on a shelf, okay? And I say these things not realizing how damaging it could be to my hometown.
Well, but this is just the most important fact. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a straight talker, and there's nothing wrong with calling things as they are or as they seem to be. But there is something inherently wrong with using this kind of language, with using these kinds of defamations, and then saying, well, the reason why I speak like this is because I'm from here, when that just isn't true.
And Artiles also spoke of diversity. Brenda Medina, even before this story broke, you wrote a piece for El Nuevo Herald about one of the taboo subjects within the Latino community, and that's racism. In Latin culture, you wrote that it's complex. So could you explain where the complications arise?
Yeah, and this particular topic has been very hard for us to, this story is kind of getting lost in translation, because when we translate the N-word, you know, we understand it, but when we translate it, it translates to black. And people are commenting and saying, what is wrong with calling someone black? And I found myself yesterday having to, you know, add a couple of paragraphs in my story explaining the context of this word and why it is so hurtful. But beyond that, just so you understand how complicated this topic is for us, you need to take a look at NuevoHerald.com and our comments section. Some of the comments in this story, how people are freely, you know, saying the most outrageously racially, you know, racist expressions, and not even, I mean, using, you know, their, it's...
Well, in your piece, you said that it's less about black and white. In the United States, issues of race are pretty much literally black and white. It becomes complicated in the Latino culture because there was one social scientist who called it a hierarchy of color. She called it a pigmentocracy. Define that, please.
Yes, in which you're not just black and white, but all these terminologies in between. You know, you're Indian or you're like café con leche, and all of these people is kind of a pyramid, and all of these people take more or less importance depending on how dark your skin is, and that's a problem. It's not better or worse, but it's different than the United States in that regard.
Okay, at this point we're going to take a couple of calls, and we are going to hear from Jane in South Miami. Jane, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Terrific.
Good.
Jane, what do you think about this whole episode with Artiles?
This is my take on it. I am extremely liberal. I am 55 years old, so I grew up watching civil rights, even as a toddler, and being horrified by what I saw. And I gotta say that in this instance, I really feel like there was no hatred on his part. This is what I see. It was late at night. There was drinks. I think he bellied up to these other members and tried to approach them as if he were a quote-unquote club member. Because if you don't think that the black community speaks to each other with girl and the N-word 100 times in an hour, then you've got your head stuck in the sand. And I think he was a bonehead and tried to be cool and literally tried to show that he was a friend and group member, and it blew up in his face.
And it backfired.
I am not defending him, because I don't think that being that culturally deaf and dumb probably is not a good thing for a representative, but I really don't think that he was coming from the hateful place that I have
understood.
Seen and heard.
Understood, Jane, but here's my question to you, and your line is a little wishy-washy, so forgive us. We're having a little trouble with telephone lines. I'm going to ask you, you know, do you feel that that the resignation was warranted?
In a way, it breaks my heart that we as a community only see things as completely one way or completely the other, and we've lost the possibility of nuance.
Okay. Jane, thank you.
It was dumb.
Thank you.
I think it cost him.
Thank you for your comment. Paul, I'm going to go back to you on this. As a public official, Jane's take is that, okay, you know something, you're having a few drinks, your tongue becomes untethered. Should you be held that responsible as a public official for what you say after hours, after all these insults were not flung in committee or on the Senate floor? It was in a Tallahassee social club. So, I mean, give us your take on this. I mean, what do you do when you're with colleagues? Do you find yourself watching your P's and Q's every single moment?
Well, I'm in law school, and one of the things that they teach in law school is that you're a lawyer in the courtroom, and you're a lawyer at home, and you're a lawyer on the street, and you're a lawyer at Home Depot as well. And it's the same thing when you're a public official. As an elected official, I consider myself in every regard, whether it's at home, in public, at a public meeting, or if I'm just having dinner with my girlfriend. You know, that's something, if you're a statesman, I think that you do need to carry yourself as such. And I think that if you're a councilman, you need to carry yourself to the same degree. And if you're the president of the United States, you need to carry yourself the same way too. You always have to have that awareness because you represent something that's much greater than what you are. And if what you're gonna be doing is disenfranchising a segment of the populace, then you're not doing what you should be doing as a statesman. And whether it's in Hialeah, and I know Hialeah has been referred to as a diverse community, mm-hmm. in reality, we're very homogenous. I think that we actually came out in an article recently that we were the least diverse city in the United States. But even still, that I still recognize what I represent, because if it's not just the people living within Hialeah, I represent all of Hialeah as a whole to the outside. And that's my big thing. I want to make sure that we have as good a public image as a city as we can.
So you're watching yourself at all times. We have another caller. This is Mark from Miami weighing in. Mark, you're on the air. Mark, welcome to the show. And we lost Mark. Okay, well, you know something? We have had a lively debate has been sparked on social media about this. We reached out to our social media users. This is well before the resignation, bear in mind. And we had Linda from Lake Worth who said, Artiles does not deserve the public trust. If a person cannot control their speech, they should not be in the public forum. It's not a venue for vitriolic slurs and demeaning name-calling. We had a whole lot of responses, and on the other side, we had Ken Milet from Deerfield Beach. He said, no, he should not resign. An error committed in the heat of an argument should not destroy a man's career. This is what social justice warriors do. They are exploiting a gaffe so they can get a Republican scalp. We need to stand up to these people. They are worse than inquisitors. Inappropriate? Yes. Ungentlemanly? Yes. But I am sick of how these groups destroy people. I hate these social justice warriors. They will never forgive a lapse. Okay?
No.
So.
And again, it's not that I have to watch what I say. That's just not the way that I think.
And we've got a caller, Debbie from Miami, who agrees with you. Debbie, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello?
Debbie. Hello, you're
yes,
on the air.
It's not about watching what you say. If you are not African American, the N-word is not acceptable.
Period.
Period. No matter who you are, and especially for an elected official.
Yeah, well, absolutely, Debbie, and that's what I just said. It's not that I am, you know, careful with not saying these things and I'm trying to dance around them. I just don't think that way. They're not part of my vernacular. It's not how I refer to people
exactly.
or how I think.
And
I think
and
that
what I'm saying is that they should not be part of an elected official's vernacular.
And also, I mean, and going back to this, because this is very important to me, if you're involved in whatever it is that you're involved in, to drag the place where you're from into it, I think that that's just completely disrespectful to that place, to its citizens, to its representatives, to everyone who's ever lived there
or been there. I
think that's
the least of the problem involved here. I understand your point, but I think there are bigger issues at issue here than whether Hialeah had anything to do with it.
Correct. Thank you. Debbie, thank you.
I think racism is a much more insidious problem to deal with.
Thank you. And Brenda Medina, can you comment on what Debbie just said? Racism is a much more insidious problem than we realize.
Yes, it is. And I think it's very problematic to tend to justify the use of the N-word by saying that Black people use it too. First, not all Black people use the N-word and feel differently about it. And the other thing is, I often find that in these conversations, the people trying to justify this as something not as important are not often on the receiving end of these insults or these hurtful words. So we need to be careful with that. This is a very important conversation because we need to ask the people who are affected, how do they feel about it? And you know, how does it hurt them before we justify this kind of behavior?
Okay, and in a few seconds, we're going to have to move on, but first we're going to take a call from Rodney, Dania Beach. Rodney.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. You know, I've never seen so many people give themselves permission to use the N-word to tell us that this comes from out of their culture and this, that, and the other. I can't believe what I'm hearing. Everybody's singing and dancing and trying to get around the actual issue. He made a racist comment. He said he got it from because he grew up in a diverse place called Hialeah. And as the mayor, I guess the official from the city of Hialeah says, we are not diverse. And we are trying to sweep under the rug what is the unsaid thing about the elephant in the room. It's racism. And it exists in Hispanic cultures, exists in English cultures, exists around the world. We cannot go forward to try to solve any problem of this nature if, as long as we keep putting these things up, saying, "Oh, well, it's not this," or "an excuse for that, this, that, and the other."
Right.
You know, there's a light skin color that's been true in America too. Light skin. You know, they had a little thing that said, you know, if you are black, get back. Brown, stick around. Light. You all right? You know, this is some nonsense. We have a cultural. Somebody should listen to Henry Louis Gates, and he talk about Latino cultures and how they differentiate themselves between how close they are to their black roots. Nobody has nothing except the black abuela in the kitchen.
Rodney, thank you for your comment. Thank you very much. You know, one thing that entered into this discussion is absurdly is spelling. That it's the comments that he made, that Artiles made, were he was attempting to blunt them by saying, well, I really didn't mean that because, you know, if you spell it this way, it's less severe. We're talking about the N-word now. You know, it's more street language, more slang, and less, racist slur. And Paul, and Brenda, how valid was that?
Well, I think that, and I'd like to hear Brenda's take because she had mentioned it earlier. Especially with the comments that have been made about the Hispanic community. I represent, I think the city of Hialeah is about 96 or 97% Hispanic. And I know that sometimes you'll have an older Cuban person who's been lifelong friends with an African-American Cuban that they've known forever. And they'll say, in Spanish, they'll say, "Ven acá, mi negro." They'll say like that. And they're just saying, they're calling them black, but it's a term of endearment. They don't mean anything by it. They're not trying to insult them or use a term that's been used to declassify or degrade a group of people throughout history. It's a term of endearment, the same way that, you know, my grandmother will call me short or something like that. I mean, it's really, they don't mean anything by it.
But you still have to have a sensitivity to how other people are going to take it.
Absolutely. That. And that's why, I mean, you sometimes I could see how someone from the outside could hear that and say, well, that's absolutely racist. And I think that there's a very clear delineation between a circumstance such as that and then something like, well, I didn't end it with ER, I ended it with A, and that's why it's not. No, absolutely not. That's something that's completely different. That's something that is inexcusable. That's something that's hurtful, and that's something that could make someone feel very degraded and very uncomfortable, and it did.
Okay. And during All Things Considered this afternoon, we're going to talk about what this resignation means to the Florida legislature. They're in session for the next couple of weeks. Brenda Medina from El Nuevo Herald, thank you very much for joining the show today.
Thank you.
And Paul Hernandez, councilman for the city of Hialeah, thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. When we return, it is situation critical in Venezuela. The prospects of a grim future for their kids are forcing Venezuelan women to simply stop having them. We'll be right back after this.